It was the best investment I made in myself. It was the kind of investment where it's all time. It's all sort of being willing to be real with myself, be clear and honest with myself, call myself out. But at the end of that, I just ended up stepping into who I really was.
This is Modern Mavericks, a podcast and newsletter for those of us who want more than just a job. I'm your host and career coach, Janelle Ibrahimi. Whether you're a corporate go-getter, an entrepreneurial spirit, or a powerful blend of both, you're in the right place. I'm sharing actionable advice on how to take your career power back and build something you're proud of. Together, we'll help you create a career that's meaningful and meant for you. Because you're a maverick. Let's get started. Hello, lunch breaker, my silly sunflower. We are back with another gem of an episode. I can already tell you right now, I promise, this specific episode is one that I know I'm going to be recommending forever. As long as this podcast exists, as long as I'm career-minded and a career coach in this some capacity, which I hope is for the rest of my life, I will be referring people back to this particular episode. It is all about breaking up with external validation and finally standing in your own worth, separate from anyone else's expectations. Whew. The thing is, I don't know a single career-minded friend out there who doesn't have a complicated relationship with external validation. The gold stars, the praise, the admiration for doing an impressive job, it's all so addicting, especially if you grew up hearing things like you are such a promising young kid, or you're already on your way to being doing amazing things. Hearing those things growing up just becomes more instilled in you as an adult, and it's so hard to break away from that, shadow, from that expectation of what others expect and think of you. So in this episode, we are breaking up with external validation with Bahija Humphrey. Bahija Humphrey is an executive leadership coach who helps women step into their potential and lead with confidence. Her story is incredible. Her expertise is just so on point. And we are specifically exploring 6 specific tips to build your inner confidence and get after your big goals, how to separate your healthy hustle from the pitfalls of external validation, because yes, hustle can be a tool, a positive tool sometimes, how to separate your goals from others' expectations and find your personal purpose, and when exactly external validation can actually be helpful for us. We're digging into all of that. Plus, Bahija shares her own reckoning story, as she puts it, growing up as a young Afghan woman raised in the West, and how she connected with her own purpose after feeling really disillusioned once she worked her way up to the CEO spot after gold star chasing her way to the top. Look, if you are a first generation kid, if you're an oldest sibling, if you're a former gold star student, or we were just told that you were a promising young woman, a promising individual, and we're going places, this episode is a must listen. This episode is going to heal your soul. Let's dig right in. I can't wait for you to hear from Bahija and all of her excellent advice.
Hi, Bahija. How's it going today?
Hey, Janelle. It's great. How are you?
Doing well. I'm so stoked to have you here. Thanks for taking your lunch break with us, digging into a topic that is way too real for a lot of our listeners.
Totally. I'm excited to share this hour with you, and I'm delighted to be a guest on your lunch break as a fan.
Amazing. So I have already briefly introduced you, but I would love to hear in your own words, if you could give us your professional power statement, who you are and what you do.
First of all, I love that phrase, power statement. I think that should just be a normal term that we use. So thank you for asking me. I'm Bahija Humphrey. I'm an executive leadership coach, and I help ambitious women ditch imposter syndrome, step into their full potential, and lead with confidence.
Incredible. Incredible. That's such important work. How did you get into this line of work? How do you find yourself sitting at your desk right now with that professional power statement?
Oh my gosh. I honestly did not ever think I would be where I am today. I am so grateful to be where I am today. I am someone who was in the corporate world doing that thing we all do, climbing the ranks, trying to just get the next gold star. I myself is I'm a high achiever. I'm very ambitious. I'm very driven. Since I was a kid, I've been this way. And I just channeled that energy into work and just moved up all the way to CEO. And what I had a moment, a sort of reckoning, where I made it all the way to the level where I thought that this is it, right? Like, I've worked my entire life. I kept chasing gold star after gold star, and now I've made it. And I looked around and I realized there's still something missing. And so I took some time to reflect. While I was in that role, I just kind of made time for myself to really get curious about what's missing and what's going on. And I realized that I was not connected to my purpose. And so, I mean, long story short, I'm here today as an executive leadership coach because this is my purpose. I'm connected to what I want to do, which is help women. My ultimate mission is to change the landscape of the workforce for women, because we're all working in this environment that was not built by us and does not necessarily consider us in the way that it was built. And I want to change that. And the way I see it is, I do that one woman at a time.
Oh my gosh, I just got goosebumps. Wow. I mean, we're going to get into some of your specialties, which is chasing external validation and how we might break that cycle. But you touched on something in your intro there that is so fascinating and feels really elusive to a lot of the lunch breakers who are listening to this. And that's identifying a sense of purpose. Sometimes that's really challenging. And as much as we are good at our jobs and, you know, collect all of those gold stars and get positive affirmation for the work that we do, it does not feel tied to any kind of purpose. Can you help us understand how you came to understand what your purpose professionally was? What was that moment?
Oh my gosh. That's such a great question. I think that when I finally found my purpose, I realized that it was such a struggle for me my whole life that I even felt pressure, because society, especially lately, it's gotten even worse. We're all meant to find our purpose. Like, that term is thrown around almost like it's like an assault on us if we don't have our purpose figured out. And I actually coach clients who struggle with, like, what is my purpose? So I love that you asked that, because I want everyone listening to know that I spent most of my life not knowing really what my purpose was, or telling myself I didn't, right? And I thought that by doing, by achieving, by getting validated by others, I would somehow find it. And I will tell you that that is exactly the wrong way to find your purpose. The thing that I had to do, the thing that worked for me, was when I finally got to where I thought, okay, this must be it, right? It took my whole career. It took a lot of struggle. It took a lot of me pretending to be whoever I wasn't and whoever I thought they wanted me to be, they being, you know, society or my boss or whoever. It took all of that for me to finally realize, oh my God, if this isn't enough, what will be enough? And so I started to dissect a lot of what was going on around me, a lot of questioning myself, why am I chasing this? What was I chasing? And it wasn't until I really sat down and said, what do I want? What would I give myself a gold star about? Do I really effing care about having a CEO title? Does that really give me something in my life? Is that really making me a better mom or more proud, right? And there was a part of me that said yes, but it was my ego side, the ego side that could, like, walk into the room and couldn't wait to be, oh, you know what? When they ask me what my title is, I get to say CEO. Well, I had to strip all that off. I had to actually be willing to take all of that off the table and say, now who am I? And so it took a lot of turning my sort of compass that was pointed outward back in and looking for all of that work within me. I found my purpose by asking myself, by discovering myself by reconnecting with myself and by stopped doing what I thought everyone else wanted me to do. And it took me a whole year. The one thing I want to add is I was pregnant at the time. It was my first pregnancy, our first son. And I just want to say for anyone who's a mom or wants to be a mom, when you're pregnant, it's a no BS zone. I had this sort of like air about me that was just like, there's no pretending to be anyone. It's almost like by having my body doing so much work to create another being, I just didn't have the energy to just be fake or anything. And that helped me a lot. It really gave me this level of clarity that I've never experienced.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It sounds like obviously there was a moment of birth for your actual son, but the rebirth for you and who is Bahija and this woman that is entering corporate rooms and entering like other rooms with different people. Like, who are you? It sounds like a rebirth moment for your identity and your inner compass as well. And I also love that you pointed out that it took a whole year. Like, this is not just something you flush out in one journal entry or one meditation or breathwork session, as much as we love those tools, but let's normalize the fact that this can take a while and this can be a messy, longer term process, but not to shy away from it because it can be that way.
Absolutely. It took a year. Janelle, it took a lifetime, right? But it took a year of really deciding I'm going to do this, deciding I was done with the rest, deciding that I wanted to find out who I was and what was important to me. And yet, even still, with as much of a high achiever I was at that point, it took me a year. Mm-hmm. And it was, to your point, it was the best investment I made in myself. It was the kind of investment where it's all time. It's all sort of being willing to be real with myself, be clear and honest with myself, call myself out. But at the end of that, I just ended up stepping into who I really was. And then you're an adult, you know, you think you're done with that. And no, you now have your boss as the person that you're, or your leaders or whoever, your mentor, right? It just... The person or the people that you're seeking that validation from switches, but it doesn't go away. And you don't even realize that you've spent your life pointing that validation outside of you instead of inside of you. And so what ends up happening is that you go from doing things and getting praise to doing things for praise. Like, you just turn into this like machine. And because you got recognized for doing all your life, you keep doing, right? And you don't realize, why isn't it enough? Why do I keep checking things off this list? Why do I even love lists, right? And so it all comes at a different point for different people. But I'll tell you, the important thing is, I find the really important thing here is that you realize that it's happening. You create that awareness. You recognize it. It could be even as simple as you're listening to me now and you're thinking, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, something she said resonated. Maybe that's me. The minute you're aware, you can start to change. And well, of course, I would love to share about how that we can do that. But I just want you to recognize that when you're aware, you can start the journey. Please do not shame yourself, feel bad, feel like you wasted years, bully yourself. We do that. We tend to do that as high achievers. We have some like really loud negative self-talk. I call that our inner mean girl. Mm-hmm. Don't unleash her on yourself over this. It's okay. We didn't do it on purpose. And there's a way to completely reshift everything. Just know that if this is you, you deserve better and it's time to change.
Wow. I definitely did feel personally called out when you mentioned the love of lists. I am a list lover, a list maker. I definitely relate to the just a craving approval from any kind of authority figure, just authority, rule follower, give me that gold star. The ambitious, high-achieving woman is exactly the person who is listening to this episode. Can you help us understand how cultural or societal expectations that we may have experienced growing up have even compacted our desire for external validation?
Oh my God, it's such a great question, because we have made some great progress and we have progressed quite a bit as society, but nevertheless, society expects its women to be a certain way, right? We have this sort of unspoken obligation to be quiet, to be nice, to be kind, to be empathetic, to always give before we ask, to never ask for more than what we need, to just sort of fit into whatever the mold is at the time. And that has such a negative impact on a subconscious level for women, that until we start talking about it and start to really like essentially bring it to the table, turn the lights on this, I don't think we're going to be able to change it in a meaningful way, because I think we keep dancing around it. The more we expect women to be a certain way, the more we expect them to be the kind, the nice one, the more we expect them to be anything, the more we have this sort of pressure on ourselves to fit that mold, whether we realize it or not. And it can be even more compounded when you bring into the conversation different elements like cultural background, right? So I am an Afghan woman. I was born in Afghanistan, raised in the West, nevertheless raised by Afghan parents, right? Whose ideals of how to parent were very different from all my, you know, peers, but especially for how they parented me and my sister. So on top of everything, they also had certain expectations of us around our life at home and how much we contributed as the girls, you know, how much we helped our mom and how we had all these added responsibilities on us around taking care of the home, around taking care of the boys. And I remember my brothers were essentially had a lot more freedom and liberties growing up than me and my sister did. Even something simple as like being able to sleep over was not allowed for us. And after an entire childhood of that, it took its toll, because for me, what I feel like happened is it made me double down on my validation. Like I would finally find someone who would say, oh no, you're just as good as the boys. You're just good enough. Like you don't have to keep doing this. And of course I'm never going to find that, right? That has to come from inside. So I just want to, I'm glad you asked that, because you know, for any woman, it's already difficult and challenging, but if you're a woman of color, if you're a woman from a different culture, it can be compounded. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And how else do you think that chasing external validation impacts our self-esteem and our views of self-worth in the long term? We definitely know how it continues to cascade through our experiences of high school and perhaps sports or clubs or teams, and then into college when we attach ourselves to that authority figure in our first jobs out of college. How else have you seen this attachments to external validation impact our self-image in the long term?
It when we spend our life chasing external validation in a way that's not balanced, what happens is we do not even consider its impact on our self-worth. We don't even make time to build a relationship with ourselves. We don't even do the work that's most necessary, which is to know who we are, to value ourselves as who we are. And really, not to get woo on you, but this is really what it's all about. It's self-love. It's to be able to love yourself so much that no matter what anyone says, no matter what anything one thinks, no matter how many likes you get on social media, you know who you are and you're confident, you trust yourself. And it's interesting because the people who actually do that, the women who actually spend the time to get to know themselves, do the work to love themselves and actually really get there, the energy they radiate, the way they walk into a room, the way they show up is so attractive is so compelling that they're the ones that everyone wants to be. They're the ones that everyone wants to be around. There's something deep inside us, that is our spirit essentially, that sees that and goes, oh, she's doing it. I want that for me, yeah. Right? And so the more you're around that person, the more you're essentially being shown how to do that, and you're getting permission that you don't need, but you're essentially getting permission to do the same.
Do you have anyone in your life that you can identify who showed you what it looked like to own your own self-worth and not seek that external validation? Is there anyone you can pinpoint who was a model for that for you?
I would say I have had mentors and a boss or two that has definitely, they've shown me that, elements of that. But I first saw it with my mom, even though she was born in Afghanistan and never was able to do more than be, you know, essentially a mom and a wife. But she kept her fire, and she would whisper to my sister and I all these beautiful things about who we were as women, and encourage us and speak up for us with the rest of the family, and just challenge some of the norms, almost like she couldn't do it for herself and she wanted more for her kids. Though there were moments that she showed me that version of someone that I'll take for the rest of my life. That's all I needed, was to see that. And those little glimpses, they kind of sear into you, right? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that so, so strongly. I want to ask you a somewhat counterintuitive question. Can looking for external validation ever be a positive thing for us?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. And here's a caveat to that. It's in balance. So right now, one of the things that is sort of popularized is to talk about how hustle culture is terrible, right? Like, we went from hustle, go, well, I'm a hustler. It was like so great. It was like a badge of honor. And now we swing the pendulum to the other side. And now it's don't hustle. Don't do that. Don't give yourself. I get it, right? I tie this external validation to that hustler in us. And I just want to make a case for hustle if you use it wisely. If you balance anything, it's fine, right? It's when it's off balance that it doesn't work. So that drive for external validation, that hustler, sometimes you need to lean into her. She's the one that gets you those accolades, right? She's the one that helps you move up. She's the one that helps you achieve whatever goal you are trying to achieve. And all those little things, what they're doing is they're showing you your strength. If you look at them a little differently, right? It's showing you how strong you are, how capable you are, how strong you are. Look at that, right? Lean into your hustler when you need to, but don't allow her to take over. Don't, if you're doing everything for external validation, if it's your main driver, that's a problem. But if you pull her out when things are getting hard, when it's difficult, when you're finding it just challenging, or you feel like you're walking through mud and you can't get to the other side, pull that hustler out, pull that external validation out, use it so that you can get past to where you're going and get through the struggle, but do not stay there.
It sounds like once we identify what actually matters to us intrinsically, that we would do without the external validation, that becomes the goal, that becomes the why. And then in moments when we are lacking confidence, or perhaps have skewed away from that North Star, then tapping into that hustle, tapping into our inner hustler, helps us achieve what we know we actually do want to the core, helps us achieve that goal that we have set for ourselves that matters to us. And now we're just using that external validation or a gold star on the star chart as a little carrot to get to a goal that we would have wanted to reach anyway. Does that sound accurate?
Oh my gosh. So well said. Perfectly said. Yes, you nailed it.
And I also have to stop myself from being like, oh, she said I said it perfectly. Like, this is almost too much.
Don't start.
Yes. Okay. Just wanted to kind of like succinct that down a little bit, that I completely agree that tapping into that inner hustle is what helps us achieve our potential. And that's what we're all about, right? If you're listening to Lunch Break, if you consider yourself a lunch breaker, you care about doing meaningful work, about a career that is meaningful and meant for you, but not at the expense of your health or losing yourself in the process. So tapping into that hustle will absolutely help you achieve those goalposts that you set for yourself that have intention behind them, that are intrinsically motivated, but we can use that external validation sometimes as a motivating force when some of our other tools and levers just aren't doing the trick anymore.
You said it so well. Yes. Yes.
For those of us who are still in very much in the cycle of seeking that external validation, and that's really what is perhaps holding us back from achieving or going after some of our dreams that we know are deep within us, but we're afraid of the perception or what people might think. How can we start to right now break the cycle of chasing external validation? Where do we start?
Okay. So once you are aware, you know, this is you, you're ready to admit it and you want to change. I've got six different things you can do, suggestions that have worked for me, that work for my clients, that I'd love to share with you just so that you can try one on, you can try a few, you can do them all. And this really, all this work is grounded on building your relationship with yourself, reconnecting to you. So that's truly what all of the work is about. These are six ways you can get there. There are well over six, but these are six for this, for the Lunch Break podcast listeners that I would love for you to try. So let's talk about the first one. Take on a challenge for yourself. And I'll share a story about that really quick. So what I mean by for yourself is this is not to win an award. This is not for praise. This is not for likes. You're not even going to post it on Insta. This means you keep it to yourself. And so I'll break this exact thing that I'm saying for you to do by sharing what I did. I found this one by accident. Something in me said to me one day, I want to run a half marathon. And for whatever reason, I just was never a runner. And it was such a it sounded like a terrible thing. But I actually, something in me said, no, I want you to do this. I knew it would take a lot of work. I knew it would take training. I knew it would take determination and just a regimented schedule. And I decided who I would be on the other end of that was worth it, right? And just that's a little pro tip on how to make decisions. Who would you be on the other end? If you think that's a version of you you love, you'd like to see, you'd want to know better, do it. So I said, okay, let's do it. And I live in San Diego. There's a half marathon, marathon, there's every other day, right? Like there's just, you could sign up for one at any time because it's always sunny. And some of the biggest ones come here, but I said, I'm not going to sign up for that. I don't want a medal. I don't want to do this for whatever I think I'll get from that. I want this to myself. It was like a secret I wanted to keep and not share for whatever reason. I still don't know. I think because I was meant to discover this and share it. So I spent months because I had just had a baby. It was like this whole recovery. And I did the training. I took my time with it because I wasn't doing that whole achiever thing. So I made it extra juicy and long. And I was really loving of myself. So I gave myself time and I ended up, before I got to the half marathon, I suddenly became this person I never thought I would be, which was, I love running. It turned into a meditative state for me. By the time I got to the 13.1, it turned out to be a couple of days before one of the biggest marathons, right, that I could have signed up for. And here I am running around by myself, the streets of my neighborhood, running around North Park, San Diego, shout out. Just all on my own. No one knows. They're running by me. They're driving by me. They're walking by me. They're watching me go by. They have no idea that I am becoming this new version of me. I got back to the house and I was in tears. And I just knew I did something that was for me. And I'm getting chills thinking about it today because I kept it to me. I shared it with my husband and that was it. And it made me see myself differently. It made me realize that for me was enough. And I was like, oh, what's the next one? So that was a big one for me. So I really wanted to share that with you. Take on a challenge for yourself, ladies.
Because for me is enough.
Ah.
Love that.
Okay. The second one is take personal responsibility even when it's hard. And this is just about like owning your life, not being a victim, not allowing a situation to dictate how you are or how you show up. I was in a tough, years ago, I was in a tough position. I had a very tough environment I was working in. And it was just like, I mean, most people would define it as toxic, right? And I realized one day I was just telling myself I was working in a toxic environment and that my boss was tough. And I realized that the story I was telling myself did not allow me to take any ownership. It didn't allow me to try to think, what can I do here? What are my options? Instead, I just sort of was like repeating this story over and over about what was going on and happening to me instead of what I could do about it. The day that I realized, wait a minute, what can I do about it? I could leave. I started to really sit down and take personal responsibility for what I could do in the situation, not taking personal responsibility for others' actions, but what I could do. It changed everything. I started to look at everywhere else in my life I was doing that. And it started to show me that I am someone worth making big decisions for, not tolerating the BS, right? Like just all these little things started coming to me. So I'm a big personal responsibility advocate. I think it's such a transformational mindset shift. That one will change your whole life.
Wow. You just keep dropping these gems. I am someone worth making big decisions for. My God, I love that. Oh, I'm rolling on number two.
Okay. So then the third one is don't break promises to yourself, right? I am not someone who will break a promise to a friend or to my kids, but I realized that I was someone who was constantly without even realizing it. I was doing it so often. It was like, I didn't even realize it was a promise. It was things simple as like, I'd tell myself I'm going to start waking up earlier. And I just wouldn't. I'd hit snooze, right? I would say, I'm gonna go for a run or I'm gonna go work out, and I wouldn't. Or just little things, right? I'm gonna do laundry or I'm gonna balance my work life better, right? And then I wouldn't, right? Every time I did that, every time we do that, we are telling ourselves we're not worth it. But anyone else, you could make a promise to a stranger, you will like almost kill yourself trying to commit to it, right? You're like, I'm not going to be that person that doesn't show up, but you won't do it for yourself. What does that do over time? Like, really think about what that is doing to your self-concept. And do you want that for yourself, right? If you did what you do to yourself to someone else, they would cut you as a friend in like a week, right? That's who I was. I was like, not my own, like the inside version of me was like, not my friend anymore. Right. Wow. So I had to rebuild that relationship.
Yeah. Gosh.
So I highly encourage you start to notice where you're doing that and start to shift that. And then the fourth one is have your own back. This one is about just speaking up for yourself. Don't tolerate someone talking down to you. Don't be someone who lets people step on you. If you're just trying to be a kind hearted person, this happens a lot with my clients who are really just thoughtful or kind or giving, and they just get stepped on essentially. What that does is it tells you that you're not willing to, protect that yourself. You're not even willing to stand up for yourself. Right. And it just starts to degrade who you are. And if you think about it, all these things over time, they seem little. We don't even know we're doing it. And it's such a really impactful rippling effect. The fifth one is to stop discounting your accomplishments. It's something most of us do as high achievers. We sort of have that list in our head. and we just, we achieve one, we go on to the next and we get credit. And it's to the point where just we're sort of like, oh, no big deal, even though it was, right? Or we give the credit away, right? We don't want to seem cocky, so we give it away. And we just like strip away everything we put into that accomplishment and pretend like it was nothing. It was something, ladies. Talk about how big it was. Talk about how much work you put in, even just to yourself. Like, oh my gosh, I showed up so powerfully. I put in a lot of work and I ended up kicking butt in that presentation, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Tell yourself, remind yourself of who you are, the work you're doing, and you'll start to be someone who just suddenly you're going to start to realize, oh my gosh, I am like such a badass. I'm so great. And so the last one, this leads into the last one, which I think we're getting better at, but really we almost do this one as another, as a part of checking a box. And I want to just say, please don't do that anymore, is to celebrate your wins. Don't celebrate it as like, oh, another box checked. I celebrated. I won something. I did something great. Now I celebrate. No, really take some time. I don't even mean like have a party or spend a lot of time or buy something big. It could just be a small moment to yourself. It could be as simple as like a really nice facial, or it could be whatever's in your shopping cart online that you've been eyeing for a long time. Hit the buy button, girl. Like,
oh my celebrate,
gosh. Right? Reshape your relationship with yourself. Don't keep pushing off like, okay, when I do this, then I'll go out to dinner and have that fancy dinner with my significant other. No, celebrate yourself. All these things, these six things, when you put them all together, you are a different person on the other side. I promise you that. You are a different person.
Wow. It's so timely that you bring up the sixth tool, the sixth element in that list to celebrate your wins. I feel like you're correct. And, or I relate to that feeling that like, it's something that we say, it's kind of like a throwaway phrase at this point, like, oh, celebrate your wins. Remember to celebrate yourself. And we all like, yeah, totally. But if I were to ask a friend, like, when is the last time you actually celebrated an achievement? They actually are not able to tell me. Just this morning, I promise this actually happened. This is a real story. This morning, I got a text out of the blue from one of my closest friends saying that she was just, she just won an award at work. She works in social work, and I didn't even know, A, that she was nominated for an award. She just sent the group chat a screenshot of an email saying like, and the winner is YZ. And we're like, wait, I didn't even know that you were up for an award. A, why didn't you tell us? And yeah. B, congratulations. And so I did follow up and say, how are you celebrating? She goes, oh, nothing really. It literally happened this morning. And so I actually love the example that you just gave of like, what's in your shopping cart? What are some of the things you want to give yourself but have been holding off on? That is the easiest, lowest hanging way to celebrate. Like, it's already there. Just give yourself permission to like get the thing within reason that you said you really wanted. I love that.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I love that you asked her that. Right? Because that is, I think that's a way we as women can help support each other in this, right? Is like, when you notice someone discounting their accomplishment, right? She was discounting herself. She didn't even tell her friends about being nominated, or when she's not celebrating it. Without judgment, we go, how can I celebrate with you? What did you do? Like, tell me all about it, right? And that just reinforces that this is important work for us to do for ourselves, and that they should do it too. And I think it just like, it will, it just allow us all to make it sort of more normalized.
That's yeah. I asked also selfishly because I don't have a good answer to celebrating my wins either, even though it's something that I constantly ask other people. So I was selfishly hoping that she would give me ideas in her response saying like, oh, we're going out to dinner, or I just like bought some champagne, but nope, it was nothing.
So oh, no.
This conversation, I will text her and say, hey, here are some concrete ideas of how you can celebrate winning this award because you deserve it.
So yes, get it.
Even if you're listening to this episode right now, go ahead and bring up your notes app on your phone and jot down some of these ideas right now. Like, press purchase on that shopping cart, go buy a glass of champagne or like a non-alcoholic beverage that you really love to celebrate with. tell someone that it happened and let them celebrate you. I feel like even just giving someone else the opportunity to celebrate you and not rebuff it is also really powerful as well. So those are immediately three things that you can start doing. And then ask your friends how they're going to start celebrating and then write down their responses so that you have this like bank of, I would literally title the note, how to celebrate.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like we need instructions on how to celebrate sometimes because we're so conditioned not to do it. That's so wild.
I love that. That should be a hashtag, right?
I know. To round up this conversation, I know that it's kind of unrealistic to think that we will implement all of these tools and ideas in this silo perfect environment. Right after we listen to this episode, we're likely to go onto LinkedIn, do our little scrolling, check for new jobs, or see what other people are up to. How can we stay mindful of our internal measures of validation on platforms like social media, LinkedIn, even spaces that are designed to be more productive? How can we still stay mindful in our consumption and interaction on those platforms while we still use them to our benefit?
That's it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what I would suggest, I highly suggest, is you can start as simple as when you are on your platform, whatever your platform you're using, when you're using it, stop for a moment and just ask yourself, like, what am I doing here? Am I looking at likes? Am I looking for something, for some sort of validation? Just get curious, literally by asking yourself, why am I on here? Am I posting something? Is this post for me, or is this post for what I think they're going to like? Right? Like, is it what I like, or is it what I think they're going to like? Two things will happen here. One, you'll just start to become aware of how you are using your social media, and really just you'll have an opportunity to examine your relationship and see if it's the right one, because all you have to do is shift it a little and start to show up there more for what you want and what you're hoping to get out of it and what will help you, what will improve your relationship with yourself when you're on social media. And the other thing is, the more you post what you like, the more you start to be genuinely you. The counterintuitive thing here is it goes back to what we said earlier, you're actually going to be getting more likes. You're going to be that person that we talked about earlier who has that energy and is just like so just at ease with herself. And that is actually probably what you're looking for anyway, right? So if you just point that compass back inward, start to really create awareness wherever you are, either on your platforms or even just when you're in conversations with friends or at work, what's going on here? What am I seeking in this conversation? Or am I being myself? Or am I saying what they want to hear? You'll start to uncover what your patterns are. And that's the first step in starting to change them.
So even just being more mindful in real life conversations to understand Absolutely. How we want to interact on parasocial platforms.
Absolutely.
Oh, Bahija, this has been such a gem of an episode. I already know that this is going to be one that I am recommending forever for people to come back.
I love it.
How can we keep up with you? How can we stay in touch?
Oh my gosh. So I am on Instagram and on LinkedIn by my name, Bahija Humphrey, Bahija Humphrey. Also, my website is that same, bahijahumphrey.com. And if any of this resonated with you, I would love to have you join my community, because chances are you are a high achieving badass woman and I'm your coach, lady. I am it.
This conversation was already so valuable. Thank you so much for spending your lunch break with us. I really appreciate it.
I am grateful for the honor. Thank you so much, Chanel. Have a great one.
You too.